David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hi, this is The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi, the founder of The Complete Herbal Guide. And today I'm very excited because we have a wonderful guest today to introduce to you. This is Mahani. She's a meditation teacher and a yoga group guru. Her story is an inspirational one about going from poverty to degradation to a world of acclaim and riches, and then to poverty and ostracism. So Mahani might seem very wildly fictional to a listener, but she says that her scars and turned into a spiritual awakening, and she has a story to prove it. Now, living in Los Angeles, she was born in Florida to hippie parents that gave her to a yogi cult leader. Now Mahani is in her final stages of a 2-year project to write her memoir, and tentatively titled Queen, A Woman's Journey from Sexual Slavery to Radical Forgiveness. Mahani is a yoga expert and meditation guru, and she's living in currently in Beverly Hills, California, who has a unique way to assist you in your path of healing and spiritual awakening. Now, it's really important to her to step out of the shadow of a yogi past into the light of being her own queen. And she's going to explain that all to you when she tells her story. So, Mahani, it's a pleasure to meet you. I'm very excited. I was looking at your material, and it's truly, your story is amazing. So why don't you introduce yourself and tell everybody who you are and what you do, and, you know, intrigue them like you have intrigued myself.
Hello, everyone. So, yeah, my nickname is Mahani. My name is Mahan Kiran. And I was born in the Kundalini tradition, raised by my parents had an arranged marriage. They were followers of Yogi Bhajan. And for 45 years, I was really in the belief that I was going to be this spiritual master, but only because of my teacher was ordaining me a master. And I really had a big spiritual ego. I thought that I was from this spiritual ego, that somehow I was better than somebody else. And that it was really from birth, for decades, I was trained, some could say groomed, handpicked by this spiritual or so-called spiritual man to follow in his footsteps.
Wow.
And then 2 years ago, kind of when COVID hit, I realized the extent of the abuse that I endured for a long time and spoke up. And it really, that was the hardest part for me to realize that everything that I had been, like, I was still promoting this man in my work,
right
on my wall. He was on the wall in my bedroom.
Wow. Did you feel like your parents gave you to this leader immediately? Did you live with this person, or were you just in your home with your parents, or how did that happen?
Like, he would come to our family home when I was a young child and sleep in my parents' bed. So he would go to different ashrams around the world, and then the families would host him. We had it was a big house for one family, but 28 people lived there. So
wow.
We had a little corner, but by the time, you know, people moved out, and then my parents had their own bedroom, our family had a room, and my sister, and it was the main room of the whole house. So we would move out of our room when he would come to town every year. And, you know, it's a longer story where he would send us all to India and separate us from our parents. But I did live with him for 9 years. I was sexually assaulted and then in a sex harem for 9 years.
Wow.
And I didn't tell anybody. So that was what I spoke up about, because there was a very secret life once the bedroom doors closed.
Wow.
And what's different than like other, you know, like it was so, he taught like no premarital sex, don't shave your legs and armpits, don't even trim your hair. But the life that we lived when that same man who was married, you know, didn't believe in divorce for the communities. So just to give the readers and to you an idea, like hundreds of followers would just do anything he said. He would arrange all marriages. You know, anyone who wanted to get engaged had to go see him. It was very much a community, but we gave all of our power to this man.
Did your parents were in this as well? Or is it just this all started with my parents?
It started with my parents. They were kind of hippies and they met at a yoga.
I see.
They got married and 3 days later, they hadn't known each other and he matched them up like in a group wedding.
Oh, okay. I got it now. Wow. And now as growing up, sometimes when we're in an environment, you know, we grew up in a dysfunctional environment, we don't really see it as dysfunctional because everybody else is doing it. And we think the rest of the world should be doing what we're doing. Now, did you go through that phase?
Well, when I went to boarding school, yes, I was 9 because everyone there was doing the same thing. But before that, I was in Florida, Central Florida, wearing a turban. No,
wow.
My entire family, you know, wore a turban and the men had long beards and all white. So I knew I looked different than everyone in my second grade.
Yeah.
I knew my broccoli and rice, my thermos that smelled like dog food was not like the peanut butter jelly sandwiches. So I knew I was different, but I just wanted to be throughout my life, and it's even now, like I just wanted to be normal.
Yeah. The quote unquote normal. I get that 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So I knew it was more like we're different. So, and that's not good. I'd come home just from school and eggs would be thrown on our garage door.
Oh, wow.
A Q-tip head and diaper head by the kids at school. So yeah, it wasn't a comfortable, you know.
Definitely not.
But then after that, like once I'm 10, teens, I'm around camps that everybody looks and dresses like me. It was normal. It was
right.
Like, this is my family. This is my community. This is my leader. Uh-huh. Everyone is treating this leader like a king and he knows everything. And yeah, so that was normal to me.
So now you said that you developed. Now, did you get married also to someone that paired up with
and
you?
He passed away. I did get married. Yes.
Now, did you get married to someone of your chosen choice, or you were kind of?
It was arranged. Yeah.
I see. So then you went into another dysfunctional relationship and it kind of just cleared on. Now you said during COVID you had the courage to speak up. Now, what happened during this time that actually changed your whole viewpoint and gave you the strength to actually speak up for yourself?
Well, I mean, definitely an impetus was another woman from 30 years prior who had been, she was actually coming to my parents' home with this yogi and in a relationship with him then when I was being, you know, a toddler.
Yeah.
She published her book and spoke about her relationship with him. And that really rocked the Kundalini community. It really, with the Me Too movement, with all the other documentaries about yoga leaders and cults.
Yeah.
And normally, you know, I had, you know, told a close friend of what had happened. And I never thought that I would speak up, that people would believe me, like if I was the only one speaking up. So I had just become so used to lying. I had developed this debilitating, acute, chronic nerve pain in my head that,
oh wow,
it felt like my brain was on a frying pan 14 hours a day. And my full-time job was to get out of pain. I was spent. And nobody after literally I have stacks of doctors and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Nobody asked me if I had been sexually assaulted for 9 years.
Wow. So, and you know, that itself could just do it to you as well. You know, the trauma, you know, that could, you know, the stress, the trauma, all those emotions that go in with that. Now, why were you, when you were getting sexually assaulted, what fears made you hold back and not come out and tell somebody or go to an authoritative or an organization and say, hey, something's going on. You know, I'm not being treated right.
I thought in the start when I was 20, he was 65, but he was like the whole world. Like, so just, it's like, I don't know how to compare. Like, I believed in my entire being that by serving this man in any way, shape, or form was serving our community, was serving, was guaranteeing my future. He was promising me I would own the Yogi Tea Empire. I was getting jewelry. Like all the women around me are doing the same thing. They're older than me. And I'm like, okay, this is what we have to do. Like, this is normal. So it became normal.
Yeah.
And that was what was so bizarre. Like,
no, I understand what you're trying to say.
It was my day. It was go to work. So I worked all day long. I went to college and got my undergrad and my graduate degree in accounting. Most people think I'm just a yoga teacher. I have a master's in accounting and passed the CPA exams. Worked in financial management. So I worked for these companies during the day, and at night would service him, you know. But it was weird. It was weird. I don't know if we're allowed to, I guess we can talk about sex, but it was intimate. It wasn't sensual. It wasn't what I wanted.
Right.
It was very clinical, very secret.
Right.
Some things were, shouldn't have happened that were just, you know, don't really want to get into.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then when he passed, he's been dead almost 20 years. It was me holding the fort, bearing the flag of Kundalini yoga and spirituality. And I'm a leader. And I, you know, he had promised that I would be even the spiritual leader. So when he passed, I'm like, and I was kicked off all the boards, you know,
wow. So all these promises were like exploded, and you're like, you know,
who am I? So the biggest thing is like, well, if I'm not special, if I'm not spiritual, if I'm not his successor, if I don't own anything, like, then who am I?
Yeah.
But I was this person, a single mom with insane pain. And I hated myself because I'm a healer and I couldn't heal myself.
Right.
And then by speaking up, it really brought everything in the public, in my community. So it was honestly a lot of re-traumatization.
Yeah.
Years. But I feel free.
Oh, definitely. I could see that you were clearly repressing your emotions because you were in an environment.
Everything. I was repressing everything that had happened. I was lying to myself and I mean, I'm sitting on stage with a decent amount of people taking my classes and promoting this man, quoting him, knowing
what he was doing.
But, quoting, like, follow this, do this. And the yoga works. That's the odd thing is there's some beautiful, right? There's
definitely.
And some people say, well, how can you practice? And I compare it like, If the best pizza man, you know, makes the best pizza and he does something or she horrible, you're still going to eat pizza, but just maybe not at that shop.
Exactly. See, you were put in a dysfunctional situation, a cult, no less, like a cult. But yoga and meditation in itself is a very, it's healing, it's soothing, it's connection with your mind, body, and soul. It's helping you focus. It's helping you see the world in a better light. It's giving you the power to move forward. Now, because you're doing that, you're able to survive. This is what I'm getting. It was the unhealthy cult that you were in that was destroying you as a person, but right. not the yoga, not the healing, you know, right. and the meditation. That's what to me was saving you, was the practices of yoga and meditation. Now, mm-hmm. explain to me the type of yoga and meditation that you do, because the wording is a little bit different and it seems a little bit different than your normal everyday yoga. So
yeah. So it's Kundalini yoga, and Kunda means coil. It's also like this, your own infinite power that's in the yogis, and this dates thousands of years beyond this, different forms of yoga, right? That kind of branch out.
Yes.
And teachers, but it's life force that's like your own and eternal power that's, and it's an actual physical manifestation of energy that they believe is at the base of your spine, and that by moving, by awakening, by doing mantras.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
You awaken this energy and this power of self-mastery. So it's a yes. beautiful concept. It's a beautiful, right? There's different movements, and so he brought this, and it was the tradition that we grew up was like, this is sacred and secret yoga that only a few masters learned, and he's now bringing it, Yogi Bhajan, to America, to making it public. So it was like this kind of mythology of, wow, we're so lucky, he's this brilliant master. And he did thousands of lectures, they're all recorded. So there was such beauty and in depth in the series, and the postures are called kriyas, and you know, but there's also this thing that they can only be taught how he taught it, and in this order. And that's, you know, that's what Kundalini yoga is. But with the internet, with thousands of people going through teacher training, you can find Kundalini yoga at Equinox now.
Right.
There's celebrities doing it. There's Kundalini yoga with disco and chocolate. There's like yeah. yoga is like, yoga really is, I like to say, like McDonald's, but in a beautiful way that it really is accessible almost on every block.
Yeah.
But in that same place, I believe it has been watered down. In a lot of the traditions of how to align to self, what is that experience? What is that? Like, you know, you don't have to wear certain color yoga pants. You don't have to like put, we always had to wear our hair up and long hair and turbans. If you didn't do that, you're not spiritual. So that's part of my own self of like, am I spiritual if I, you know, right. have hair down.
Yeah.
so there's a lot of layers of like misbeliefs. And so the yoga, yeah, I mean, I think if anyone can experience their own self, that is union, and that can come from any breath work, any hobby, any walking on the beat, you know, like that's yeah. really, it when we're all wanting the same, right? We all want to feel good.
We all want to feel good, definitely. Ourselves.
I see your book, like Empower Yourself, back there. Like,
yeah,
we just, that's what we want, right?
Right. Yeah. So,
we want to be intuitive. We don't want to be stuck in our negative minds.
No, that will destroy us.
Right. So yeah, I mean, yoga, meditation is beautiful, and yeah, so it's been quite a last 2 years.
So it's only been 2 years that you've been, you know, you've released yourself from this cult and actually started living a quote unquote normal lifestyle that you wanted to live, but didn't realize that you had the capabilities of getting out of that and living that lifestyle.
And it's interesting you say out, because I still feel like I still want to connect to the community. I've been in a process of forgiveness.
Yeah. Well, forgiveness is important. You know, if we don't forgive, people don't realize, people hold grudges, but we need forgiving and forgetting. It takes off that baggage that we hold, all those pains, all the suffering that we've had caused by whatever reason or caused by one individual or several individuals. If we carry that on our shoulders, I think holding grudges can destroy you more than anything else. You know, it's when we forgive and we let go, we feel a release.
I was so bound up and so like in this internal, when I'm very good at teaching meditation and helping people awaken, and
right
in my own self, when I looked in the mirror, I was like, I don't like you very much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at least I can be vulnerable and honest. Like, and the biggest gift was acknowledging that I had that ego, acknowledging that I am still light if I'm not any title or,
right,
you know, if they don't give me my certificate after 27 years to
right
be a healer, you know, like.
Well, I think we go through that stage of denial, and then we have to accept the situation, and then we have to learn how to accept what's going on. And then once we do that, we could start working on loving ourselves and loving who we are, and then making changes so we can love each other and can look in the mirror and like that person we actually see, you know? And
what I thought I should have been.
Right. You know, I think everything happens for a reason. And, you know, someone may have told us this is the path you're supposed to take, but not necessarily. It's what the path that is intended for you. The path, you know, I think everything happens for a reason. And, you know, you actually saved yourself by leaving there, and you actually took the good things that you've learned and actually kept it with you, the things that helped you, it seems, you know, get through everything.
Yeah.
Now, yoga, the yoga that you do, is it different than the yoga poses, the standard yoga poses and the standard yoga that we do regularly, you know, with all the other types of yogas and stretches?
Yeah, the vinyasa, the hatha, the angar, they all kind of have more of a stand, not necessarily standing, but a flow or certain postures with the body. Kundalini yoga is a lot of different movement, like, you know, putting your hands on your shoulders and kind of rapid moving, a lot of breath of fire.
Okay.
A lot of use of mantra and singing. And then there's like specific things for your adrenals or for intuition or for the liver or for, you know, your nervous system or to get out of a bad mood. So it's not the traditional flow of downward dog and warrior one, warrior two.
Right.
So it is different in that way. But it's starting to become unionized, even yoga. So I taught at a yoga fusion a few years ago in New York, and I was the Kundalini teacher at Kirpalu, and I taught it, you know. So the beautiful thing with Kundalini, we could do something for 2 minutes. You don't have to go get a yoga mat and do a whole 2-hour class.
Yeah.
Do something really quick. But that's really in every yoga. You could just hold any position. But I taught Kundalini. And then the next year, all the vinyasa teachers said, they were whispering in my ear individually, don't tell anyone, but we add a little Kundalini before our flow. Like, you know, so.
Yeah.
Like, yoga's yoga, just do what works for you, but how do you know that it works, right? Like, what? So I love teaching that sensitivity, that self-awareness. Like, how do you feel before you do yoga?
Yes.
Why are you doing it? Mm-hmm. What do you want to feel? Like, how do you feel? Like, how do you feel after?
Right.
And how do you carry that off the mat before you get on the mat again? What is, you know, how's your mind working? So the Kundalini has like a lot of more, I would say more mental, of where you can observe the subconscious mind, right? Mm-hmm. You can observe your unconscious mind. You can observe the flow of your chakras and see how they're happening when you talk. So which chakra am I talking from? Which chakra do you feel like you're listening to me from?
Does that when you were speaking about the spine and you were speaking about the alignment, that's what it reminded me of, was the seven chakras, you know? And, you know, really observing, you know, keeping everything in alignment with one another. And Do you incorporate the meditation? Do you start with meditation and go into the yoga poses, or do you end with meditation?
I kind of flow, like, just depending on the group of, you know, like we could do a heart opener and then do some deep stretching, you know, kind of being sensitive and intuitive to what is the need in the, with the people, with the students. Yeah.
So what kind of benefits do you get from this type of yoga? Like, for people who are interested that sound intrigued by this, you know, how can this help an individual?
Well, just on a very rudimentary way, it can help you de-stress, but also help you to observe what your stress pattern is. So how do you experience stress, right? Mm-hmm. What my specialty in the Kundalini world is this meditative mind. Is mm-hmm. the establishing this, because the meditative mind is like a muscle.
Yeah.
And some people call it like Tiger Woods, it's called the zone, right? When you're in the zone and, you know, doing
right.
It's the same for all of us. We have that space where we merge. We have this, we don't identify with our shoulder that may be hurting, or we don't identify with the stress of our mother-in-law. We experience it. We can allow the shoulder to hurt. We can allow, right, the experience of the irritation.
Yes.
We also sense our breath. We have an awareness of you and I are interconnecting. We mm-hmm. have this. So that's what I love about, you know, teaching, and it is how you can have an awareness of self, how you can start to observe, okay, maybe I get stressed 5 to 10 times a day. What are the triggers? Where do I feel that? Which chakra do I feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people getting stressed about their shoulder and their mother-in-law will hold that pattern differently.
Yes.
So the yoga and meditation and awakening allows those, just take those 10 people to see, what can I do? How can I, what kind of practice can I do to shift this pattern so I don't need to suffer?
Right.
It's just so you don't suffer as much. If we just suffer, there's every book, self-help book is all about suffering less.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Everything in society, every drink now is de-stress. Every deodorant is about intuition. They're called deodorant, right? So we just, that's what it does. That's what this, I believe every form of yoga, I practice like other forms. And that's, I believe, what maybe the essence of yoga gets diluted is, it's not about the yoga butt. It's not about, you know, who has the better clothes in class or the disco music.
Right.
How can you feel like you? How can you return to experience your essence, your light, that you have everything that you need to have an amazing day?
Right.
If you, right from that place of, I am amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I am strong. I can be present, aware in myself in whatever happens, good or bad, what I judge, right?
Yes.
Today.
Learn how to overcome your obstacles, learn the root cause of what's causing the obstacles, and then focus in on the positive aspects and
getting over the obstacles, but then sitting in your light, sitting in your joy of self,
Feeling like you're number one, you know, looking in the mirror and liking who you're seeing. Yeah. Right.
So that's the gift that I believe this yoga gives. And, you know, there's so many different styles and teachers and different classes, and, you know, it just depends on what the person is seeking and at the given day. And yeah.
So at the same time, you're not only just doing these different poses, you are also figuring out the root causes and then fixing those root causes.
Right. That's my specialty as an intuitive healer. So with the yoga, I was also trained for almost 30 years, if believe it or not.
I'm 47.
I started when I was 18. So
wow.
29 years of learning that. So then once you have your own intuitive self, you can start to sense other people,
right?
You sense how another person's chakra is working. You can sense
definitely
the pattern in another is working and help them to heal themselves. So that's my path, is the healing path of helping others heal themselves and to awaken. And
because I feel like once we connect with our inner self, we connect with our intuitiveness and our sixth sense. Once we are able to understand ourselves and understand how the signals and what our body's telling us, we're able to actually understand others as well. And mm-hmm. we're understand their energy, their body language, everything, you know, just looking into their eyes and then getting a feel for what's going on with that person, not even having to verbalize it to you.
Right. So even say you and I are even now, like we're interacting, and like if I'm upset and then, you know, I get upset, I get stressed, I'm human, right?
Yeah, definitely.
But if I'm in that, then I can't be present for what you're going through.
Exactly.
Right.
But so you have to make sure that you heal yourself in order to heal others, because we can't help others unless we help ourselves first.
Right. Put on the oxygen mask, right? The airplane. Yeah. the airplane industry has it correctly.
yes, definitely. Now, what motivated you to write this book? Like, tell me the title once again, so everybody knows.
It's now Queen of Myself. It was Queen, and it didn't feel right because there's a lot of other titles and movies of Queen. And
yeah,
I Googled Queen. I was like, it's not really fitting.
Yeah.
Then I was like, Queen of Myself. And that's so true, is because I wanted to be the Kundalini queen and I was promised this queendom.
Yeah.
And it was so like, you know, just my whole life of like, well, if I'm not the queen, then who am I? I'm not.
Yeah.
The queen. And so, yeah, like Queen of Myself. And it's a journey. So what is, tell me the question again.
No, first I wanted to know, you know, I wanted everybody to know about the title, and then what motivated you to write this book? Like, why did you want to write this book, and what's a little bit about?
Well, I really, of course, I admit I wanted to be a New York Times bestseller and get on, you know, talk shows and podcasts and be famous. I still want that. What? Let's just say, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Let's let that all go, because my book was rejected. The book proposal was rejected. They said, redo it. It's too much complaining and not enough self-help. So I got depressed and I stopped, and I actually wrote a script. And that was how I could visually see my life. And I had never written a screenplay before, and I wrote it. And that was so healing. And then from that pause of like, you know what? I need to let go of finding an agent, of trying to publish. I need to write for me.
Yeah.
I just write it. And I just started writing. And it was like almost Valentine's of this year. And I literally 10 hours a day. Like, I just took care of my child as a single mom and then wrote. And I was alone so I could survive. And my intuition was like, I just need to do this. I need to write. I need to write it all out and keep writing and rewriting. And just even reading what I'd written 6 months ago, and now I'm rewriting. It's like, I need to get more vulnerable, more honest with myself.
Yeah.
Not who cares what happened, but how did I feel about what happened?
Right.
Right. Yeah. That's more interesting than the facts and the timeline. And like, it's right. So
100%.
So it was more than to heal myself. And then it was like, maybe there's a path, maybe there's a, like a journey of sharing like the self-help stuff that I used, of maybe this is a self-help book. Maybe it's not like so much tell all, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's really like, how did I really get myself up and start to like, and even I'm still in it. Like, how do I work again? How do I present myself to the world as a yoga teacher?
Right.
you know, lit a bomb in the community.
Well, you know, you had a very big obstacle to endure. You had to figure out, when all this exploded, who am I? You know, yeah. Everything that everybody was telling you were lies. You were lied to by so many people you trusted. You know, yeah. That's huge. You know, people could get destroyed just by that and build up walls just, you know, from something like that occurring. And now you had to figure out, okay, who am I? I'm not what these people told me. They told me lies. And now you have to figure out who I am, you know, and
what do I really want to do? So yeah. Your friend was like, you were trained to be a yoga teacher and spiritual teacher and a healer. Like, if you didn't do that. And I was like, maybe I want to make t-shirts. I was like, what? I have a choice. What do you mean I have a choice? I can, like, you know,
yeah.
It was, yeah.
So. Well, they didn't give you many choices. They kind of told you basically what to do. You know, that's what they do in a cult. You know, you don't have choices. You have to follow their rules and their regulations. So now you have the world open to you and you could do anything you want, you know. But it seems like when I talk to you, your smiles come when you speak about healing and you speak about helping others.
So I'm creating a nonprofit. Well, I have a nonprofit and my dream is to have a healing center where people can come that kind of have like this big knot, you know, that the doctors can't figure out, that they're suffering, that. And then they can come back to the beauty of themselves. I can't explain the amount of pain and doctor's bills and searching and different diagnoses like that almost destroyed me.
Yeah.
And I have this, like, I feel like anyone can heal. It doesn't healing is just coming back to your sacred self.
Yeah.
Loving the pain, forgiving yourself, forgiving myself of what everybody did, like, and happened, for being stupid, for the betrayal, for putting myself in a place to get sexually assaulted. Like, could I have done something differently? Could I have said no? Like, you know, so that's, to me, yeah, I do light up and I'm glad you say that. 'Cause I'm like, what am I doing? And how do I, what's my new bio, you know? And I'm a healer. I want to help people heal. And yeah,
I think when the light bulb goes off and you know, and even just the feeling of helping one person, the satisfaction and the achievement it gives you, that's, there is your true calling. That's how you know, it's what you love to do, what makes you want to get out of bed, what makes what makes you have your passion, you know, your drive to want to live, you know, what gives you that motivation. That's your true calling, you know, that's how I look at it, you know. And they are so many people that have helped themselves naturally, people with chronic illnesses, people with, you know, lots of disorders and diseases that have helped themselves through different methods of healing. And, you know, and it's, you know, I think it's over 70% of illnesses are caused by stress alone, you know? So think about that. Think about how detrimental stress is on the body, how it could destroy a person, you know? So, you know, if we de-stress ourselves, imagine the good it can, you know, it can cause, and imagine how it could heal the body, you know, if we can release the stress that is actually destroying us.
Right.
Now, is your book in production? Did you self-publish your book? Like,
I am self-publishing, unless the publisher comes along and aligns right now. I'm in another round of editing, of getting really honest of, like, does this need to be there? Maybe not, you know?
Right.
Adding in another texture and layer of the self-help stuff. Adding in like some really deep healing stuff of how to sense your so it's in I'm editing to answer your question.
Okay. Well, you know, I think also, you know, it doesn't matter if a traditional publishing company publishes your book or if you self-publish your book. Nowadays, you know, some of the greatest, you know, successes in our society self-publish their books, you know. And, you know, so many, there's so many cults out there and so many organizations that are just like cults that force people to do things. Or even on the internet, they have these groups and they actually brainwash individuals to think a certain way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so there are lots of people that could relate to you and relate to what you're going through, you know, and to give a people just an introduction of what you went through, and then to go into the healing process of how you healed yourself, you know. So it was really by doing the meditation, by forgiveness, and by doing the yoga that it was your main factors of healing?
I would say like the forgiveness. I had to actually stop doing yoga for a while. Like, you know, it's kind of like if you're a tennis star, like, and you're healing from a whole, you know, tennis drama, like,
yeah,
like try surfing, you know?
Mm-hmm. I get that.
So I did some spiritual psychology, like 3 years, a very rigorous course. And I would say the self-love and the like really forgiving, working with inner child work, you know, like just, yeah, I would say not so much the actual yoga and meditation. It was more of coming back to loving the places that hurt inside.
Mm-hmm. So it was basically going back to your past and then learning how to forgive the ones that hurt you the most.
Right.
Then learn how to love yourself and love everything about yourself. Those were the main
love
two
the
things.
Story, to love the pain, to love, you know, I'm doing a little bit of the Course in Miracles of just like we are all love. And
yeah,
when love, we can, you know, we can sit in the loving or we can sit in the painful memories. And
right.
I still have painful memories that pop up, but I don't keep feeding them.
Right. You know, I think the greatest thing is to learn how to let go and learn how to forgive and to learn how to move on, because we can't change the past. The past is the past. We cannot change the past. We can only focus on the present. So, you know, in order to focus on the present, we need to just, like you said, forgive and
exhale.
Yeah.
Body, like take 5 breaths. I was in an Uber and the guy's like, what do you do? I was like, I teach meditation. He's like, my meditation is 5 breaths. Whenever I'm stressed, I take 5 breaths. And I learned something from that Uber driver. It doesn't have to be so complicated.
Not at all.
Like take 5 breaths when you're upset.
You know, it's all about slowing down. We live in a rush society. Everybody thinks that everything has to be done so quickly, so fast, and so much has to be done. And it's all what you yourself are capable of doing and what makes you happy, you know.
I feel like I have to hurry up and finish the memoir. So I'm also relaxing about that. I'm like, take 5 breaths and, you know.
I think my first book, it took me 5 years to write. So there's no rush, you know. You can, you know, you do it little by little. And the more you edit, the more you see yourself make more changes. And you come to revelations that you didn't even realize before, you know. And I think the healing yourself is great. So if you had to give some pointers, now being in a cult, if someone finds themselves in a cult or organization and they feel trapped within this, or even a dysfunctional life and they feel trapped, what would you say to them as advice? If you know, if they know they're in an unhealthy lifestyle or they're afraid to leave or they're whatever the fact may be, what would be your advice on how to get out of that unhealthy situation?
That's a very good question. Very can be complex, but also I would say, look in the mirror and see the light and the love in your eyes and your strength, and take those 5 breaths, and also like really first see and feel your own light and power and love of self. And then from that inner strength, then you'll know what to do. Like then the intuition, right?
Mm-hmm.
The intuition will come. Then what to do? Do I call a friend? Do I call the police? Do I like, then it's like, okay, I have that power and sense of self.
Right.
Act. Like I could say what the action should be, but no, it's like come into like your power and your sense of like, right.
Right.
And then just trust that you know that you are the queen of yourself, the king of yourself, right?
Yeah.
Like there's nobody that has power over you. It may appear, right, that you've given, right, yourself over, because that's what a cult is, right? You've given your sense of self, your decision-making process is in the group or the person leading the group. So to reclaim that, and then from that, to be safe, right? To like, there's a lot of, you know, depending on the circumstance, but to, you know, I would say find somebody that has been in a similar situation.
Now, would you find that, what was the main thing that gave you the strength? Because so many people, I would think, are they have fear and they have the lack of strength to actually make that move to get out of that unhealthy situation. Where did you find the biggest thing that helped you gain that strength to overcome and to be able to move forward and get out of that unhealthy situation?
I mean, my daughter, she's almost 16 and she wants her privacy, but she said, "Mom, I would have spoken up at the time, but you didn't, but now's your chance." You know, and that's like wisdom from a teenager. She gives me strength to, you know, like I want all the women to be informed of, you know, like, and the men, right? Like, no matter any circumstance of your work environment, your school environment, feel your own power. You are your own amazing self.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
So
that gave me inspiration. The other woman's book gave me the permission, because then there was a platform to for people to believe. And then, I think it's, and then I'm still working with the community to help of how can we heal. So with me speaking up, a lot of other people have spoken up. There's a lot of people who've been to, we call them second generation, who went to boarding school in India that had all sorts of trauma. I wanted, if anyone's listening, my heart goes out to all of you. So it there's now this whole platform of reconciliation in the community where hundreds of people are coming forward with, you know, the parents who were ostracized by their children, the children who were ostracized by their parents, all sorts of abuse.
Right? Yeah.
And there's a whole group that's saying none of it happened. He's still a saint, and all the women speaking up are whores, and, you know, all sorts of stuff against the women speaking up.
Right.
There's three documentary projects coming out. Vice did something. HBO has done a press release. You know, they're doing a 4-part episode, another firm as well. So there's going to be a lot more, you know, just information and communication to the world about this. And I believe and hope healing. So what gave me the strength to speak up is also like, okay, maybe there's a possibility of a new conversation. So even I believe in radical forgiveness, and I want to, you know, I don't want to be it like it's my concept, but the Me Three movement, how can we go beyond the victim and the perpetrator blame?
Yes.
Of the Me Too, it's still dualistic. I'm a victim, I'm blaming.
The pity party.
Pity party. So I my heart goes out to anyone who's traumatized or had any kind of abuse. But in my experience, there was so many different other angles than the yogi that perpetrated. It was my mom and the community and my sister and my father and, you know, like my inner child. And so like, how can we go beyond, right?
Yeah.
Like, and talk about like, who else is there? Who should have been there? For me, there was older women that were complicit.
I can sense that you have so much anger because you back then, because they, why didn't they, any of them help you? You know, why did they let this happen?
My boss, like there was a lot of female stuff. So a lot of the females on the ranch, they were 20 years older than me and leading me into the room and making me, you know, like
just
them and the confusion and the like, I mean, I'm in my 40s. I can't imagine doing this to like a 20-year-old, you know?
Yeah.
But I probably, if I was still in it, I could imagine, you know, like.
Yeah. I think it was the forgiveness that helped you let go of that anger, because I think being in that situation there's a lot of anger that, you know, when you're realizing.
So I'll ask, I mean, I wrote an email to all the people on the ranch and said, can we have a conversation? Can you say sorry? And it's been, well, I wasn't there, or they hire an attorney and I'm forbidden to speak to them. And the other signed an NDA and won't say any, like everyone's like kind of,
you know what?
Up.
I don't think you need their words of forgiveness. It's you forgiving them. The fact right. that you can forgive them is more meaningful. You know, they're going to be in their world and they have not reached the level that you're at, and they may never reach that level, but you have gotten to a place where they will, you know, they will in the present right now are not on that level. And you should give yourself a pat on the back for that. You're welcome. And as long as you forgive, that's all that matters. You could write that forgiveness letter. Some people will throw it in the fireplace. Some people will burn it after they write it and let go of it somehow. But just getting it on paper.
With that, just add, as we're finishing, the forgiveness isn't all airy-fairy and beautiful. Sometimes it's cursing and screaming and getting out and kicking. Like, there's a lot of visceral stuff. I had so much rage.
Yeah.
So forgiveness isn't like, oh, this happened, just forgive, you know, like,
no.
This is just like, you know,
getting all of that repressed emotion out.
Yeah. So I just want to make that important, like, note that it's not just like whatever happened, just say you forgive them. No, this is like a step-by-step process of getting it out of yourselves, releasing it from the mind.
Yes. Sometimes
writing about it, rewriting about it, rewriting it again and again and again, which has been my experience of, you know, until the words are just words on the paper.
Exactly. I used to write a journal, and then once I had everything on paper and I actually felt like I actually got to the next step, that's when I would rip those parts up, because I'm past that now. I finally got over it. And now I'm moving forward, you know, and maybe a couple of yoga moves or meditations, and you just let out a scream during one of them, you know, just let it all out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and just let it all out, you know, get that anger out. I mean, you'll see people, they'll walk in the street and you can see they're just miserable. They're miserable inside for whatever reason. And there's no reason to go through life like that. Really isn't,
you know?
So if you had to give some people advice, you know, if you had to say three things to people that have, you know, can relate to you, what couple tips do you think, you know, you'd like to share?
I would say, look in the mirror and say you love yourself, or I'm open. So I had to say I'm open, and I'm open to maybe loving myself, that I couldn't say I love myself.
Right, right.
Two, I would say find something to interrupt the pattern of stress.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you should do my techniques, right? I'm not here to sell anything, but find a breath, find doodling, find just 10 times a day, find something like a breath, like breathe through your left nostril. Just if anyone's listening, right? If they're listening, just for 30 seconds, breathe through your left nostril whenever you're upset or stressed.
Right.
Take five breaths, right?
Yeah.
To modify your own pattern. And number three, I would say, forgive somebody, even if it's somebody that just cut you off in the street.
Right.
Just say, I'm open to forgiving.
Excellent. I love those tips. Now, do you have any future projects in the works? Anything? What's your new projects that you're focusing on right now?
Trying to get the book done. Mm-hmm. I love to do a scripted project. So I've sent out a query letter, you know, to do my story in a scripted series, like The Queen's Gambit, you know?
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. And then I want my passion, like you said, and I'm glad you're helping me find clarity. I love healing. So, you know, however I can do that, whether it's, you know, I love healing. So we have actually a gift at Equinox class. It's next week. You can find it on my website. So that's like, if I love to teach people, you know, how to heal, it'll be online. And I think creating a healing community online and in person. So I'm just surrendering and seeing where I land, you know?
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. So healing, that's what, and then these projects of the story, you know?
And where can people find you if they want to learn about more about the services and more about the healing techniques and your yoga and your meditation? Where can they find you?
On my website, mohankiran.com.
Okay. Can you spell that for people just so that they have the correct spelling?
Yeah, it's mohankiran.com.
Excellent. Excellent. So, you know, I wish you the best of luck. I think that doing your book, just read through it and just, you know, write from the heart. I think the biggest times that I've had my most successes is when I was going through life and things just poured out of my heart and I just put them on paper. And that's when my best advice came out during my hardest upscales and downscales in life, because that's when, you know, I think our intuitiveness, our inner self starts talking to us and people and spirits start talking through us and, you know, putting all those thoughts and all those feelings, everything that you're feeling on paper, and then make it into a, you know, productive and helpful way to help others, you know, and right. I wish you the best of luck. And thanks. You have some great, great things is on your website. And I, you know, I'd love to have you back and, you know, you're a wonderful person. Thank you so much for sharing this event. And thank you for coming out, because we need more people like you to share their stories. Cause there's so many people that are going through what you're going through and they're just afraid to talk about it. So
thank you.
To you.
Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.